Turn with me into the book of Acts, chapter 4, if you would. How confident are you in everything that you're involved with? Decisions and planning and everything. A family was finishing up a day's activities, and the mother was in the living room with the little girl over in one corner reading a story to the little girl and getting her ready for bed. And the dad, he was sprawled out on the couch. None of you guys ever do that. He was kind of watching TV and just laying there, killing time. And the little boy was laying in the middle of the living room there on the floor, had his crayon spread out all over in front of him, had his coloring book there, and he was just working so hard. And he was concentrating and switching crayons and coloring here and coloring there. And the dad noticed he had some really serious looks on his face. And so the dad asked him, what are you coloring there? And the little guy was working away, and he said, I'm making a picture of God. Making a picture of God. Nobody's ever seen God. You can't make a picture of God. And the little guy, he just kept working, changing colors, and he says, they will pretty soon. Confident in his work. One of the best ways to have confidence in what we're doing is to be an eyewitness, right? If you've seen something or experienced something yourself, been involved in something, participated in it, you have quite a bit of confidence in the situation, in reporting on what you've done or the activity. I have personally not been in a tornado, but when we lived back in Missouri, when the tornado went through Joplin, Missouri and caused such devastation, I went down into that with a group of people to try to help clean up afterwards, and I saw the after effects of the horrible devastation that took place there. The power of the tornado, a huge tornado that took out quite a bit of the town of Joplin and other areas beyond. In my 22 years of ministry down in the southern part of the state, I saw that the little tiny meandering stream of the Membrees River actually does become a river about 200 feet wide during the spring runoffs, certain times of different seasons. I saw the meandering Gila River that looks so nice and gentle floating along, become a mighty torrent and wash out a brand new bridge that was supposed to withstand every flood that came through the area. When we see things, we can testify about what actually happens. The hand-picked apostles of Jesus Christ were eyewitnesses of the power of God. The power of God working through His Son, Jesus Christ. They had heard the voice of Jesus. They had seen Him overcome the leaders. He had overcome the demons. He had overcome nature. And He had overcome death itself. They were eyewitnesses. Then they were given that divine power to work for the glory of God. And we see that they stand in that power and they speak with that power. Do we speak with the power of God, or are we restrained by some power of fear that presses in on us and squelches our confidence? Do we speak in the name of Jesus, or do we speak in the name of the NFL, the AFL-CIO, ABA, the weather, the latest movie, or fad, or we just speak because we like to hear our own voice? What power do we speak in? Walking in the steps and commands of Jesus, every believer is motivated and helped by His Holy Spirit to speak with power the truth of God, to speak the word, speak the word, speak the word. Will we continue in His power to speak His word? We can speak with His power when we walk with Jesus and obey His voice. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Father, for the power of your word, the power of Jesus, your almighty power. We thank you for the power of your Spirit working within us, the power of your scriptures, the power of truth. Father, help us to move closer to you and walk in that power, to honor you, to glorify you, to live for you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text today is the first 20 verses of Acts chapter 4. The very first four verses is a reminder of Peter and John. If you remember back in chapter 3, he had healed the man who had never walked before. He was immediately healed. He jumped up and was running and leaping and praising God. And they went into the temple and a crowd surrounded them. And Peter and John began to preach to those people. And Peter was busy preaching to the crowd when along come the soldiers from the temple to stop them. They didn't want the message of Jesus proclaimed in the temple. And so I don't think they had any handcuffs in those days, but they take Peter, John, and this healed man under control and throw them in jail for the night. That's the first four verses of chapter 4. Let me pick up and read through verse 20 from verse 5. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes were gathered together in Jerusalem, and Annas the high priest was there, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and all who were the high priestly descent. When they had placed them in the center, they began to inquire, "By what power or in what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name this man stands here before you in good health. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the chief cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. But when they had ordered them to leave the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, "What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But so that it will not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer to any man in this name." And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard." Amen. Speak with power. Speak with power. The first point that I want to bring forward in this message is that God speaks through people from every walk of life. every walk of life, God can use you, and He does use people who will put their faith and trust in God. You know what Peter and John's occupation were, don't you? They were fishermen. They were fishermen. They were fishermen by trade. They were raised by their parents who were fishermen, and they had planned to pass on that trade to their children and continue in that same route the rest of their lives. But then Jesus came and gave them new purpose. Through Jesus, they had become fishers of men instead of just fishing for fish, speaking the eternal life that comes through Jesus Christ. The man healed from the lameness had no formal education, but had been a beggar for over 40 years, we learn from verses just a little bit past, down in verse 22 of that same chapter. His entire life he was spent begging. His parents didn't take him to school. He needed to raise his income, go beg for some money. And now he it is, after 40 years, he's still begging. No education, no formal education. And now his lips are doing what? They're praising God, giving God the credit, glorifying God, pointing people in the direction of Jesus Christ who had healed him. God empowers believers from all areas of life. Matthew was once a tax collector, hated by the people, but now he led people to the treasure of knowing God through Jesus. The woman at the well was an adulteress who led her entire village to meet Jesus, the God of true love. God still uses secretaries, plumbers, carpenters, bankers, bookkeepers, housewives, you name it. God uses us. Every one of us. I was a pig farmer. And God uses me. Squeal! With delight for Jesus. All who believe that Jesus is Lord is used by Jesus for His glory. The message about Jesus Christ is simple, and yet it is so profound. Jesus, the Son of God, left heaven. He lived a perfect life here in a corrupt world. And then what did He do? He gave His life to be crucified and buried. Is that the end of the story? What's the next step? He rose. How many of you knew that part of the story? He rose. That's the most important part. He conquered the grave. He lived. He gave His life. He was crucified. He was buried. And He was raised. And He ascended back to heaven. Is that the end of the story? He's coming back. How many of you know the story? You know the story. You may not know every detail. You may not remember every tidbit of the story in between, but you know the basics. You have the message of salvation. God has empowered you. The message about Jesus is true. The Jewish leaders here in this passage of the first century, they could not deny that Jesus had risen from the grave. They could not deny that the power of Jesus had healed the man. And the message is still true today. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Savior for all humanity. Even though these leaders were the enemies, they could not deny the power of Jesus. God still speaks His truth through His faithful children, through you, as you go out and deal with people around you, a lot of people are mocking Christianity. They don't want to believe, but you got the message of truth. Stand firm in the message. Speak with God's power. The Holy Spirit is the director of the Christian message. Jesus assured his disciples, quote, "When they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not worry about how or what you are to speak in your defense or what you are to say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say." I don't know if I should tell others about Jesus. I don't know what to say. What did Jesus just say? Don't worry about it. He will give you the words. He gives us the words that we need to say at the right time and the way He wants them presented. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and was given the exact words that God wanted stated to these leaders of Israel. Those words of truth sank into the minds of those hearers, and they could not deny the message. The same Spirit works powerfully in all of the apostles. The apostles went out in the first century and they testified, and Jesus, through the Spirit, gave them the words to say to convict the hearts of the people, so that there was a multitude of believers who came to be part of the first century church. And so, did the Spirit die? God's Spirit didn't die. The people may have died, but the power of the Spirit continues. The very same Spirit inspired and guided the authors of the Bible to write the very words of God to preserve for us, so that we will do what with your Bible? To read it, to believe it, to study it, to practice it, to learn it, to obey, and to grow in faith. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. Do you have that verse, those two verses memorized? How about John 20, verse 31? Take time to read those. Memorize them. Remember the message of Jesus. The very same Spirit is given to every believer who obeys Jesus Christ today. That's a promise of Acts chapter 2:38. The promise is for you and for all those who are far off. When we believe in Jesus, repent, and are baptized, we are given the gift of the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. Over and over again in the New Testament, we are assured that the Spirit is working in us if we are devoted to Jesus. He still works. Will we listen to His guidance? There are warnings there. Don't squelch the message. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't put Him off. Listen to Him. Follow His direction. He's there. God is with you. Jesus will judge every one of us by the words that we say. Every word that we say, God is listening. We are told that. We are warned. So if you're speaking the words of God, if you're speaking the words that the Spirit gives to you, do you have anything to worry about? No. You're doing God's will. You're speaking in God's truth. You have nothing to worry about. Make sure that you're listening to God's Word and pleasing Him in what you say. Let the Spirit direct your words that will honor Jesus Christ, that will lift Him up, that will please God. Speak truth, speak righteousness, and you have nothing to fear. The third point that I want to talk on is that Christians speak by the authority of the King of Life. You have the authority of God Almighty. The one who gives life to every person has given you authority to speak His message. Nobody else has to give you permission. You don't have to write to the president. You don't have to write to a congressman. You don't have to talk to the judges or the lawyers here in town and get a letter of permission. You have God's permission and command to speak His truth. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, He said, I am the way, I am the what? Truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. The apostles were acting under the orders given to them by their Creator, Jesus Christ. And you have that same authority. The proclamation of Jesus is recorded in Matthew 28, verse 18. He said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. The Apostle Paul talked about it in the book of Colossians. It talked about it in the book of Hebrews. Over and over again in the New Testament, you have the authority of the Creator to speak His message. He alone has all authority. The people that think they can defy Him have how much authority? None. None. Just as in this passage we see all of the leaders of the Jews confronted Peter and John and said, who think you are? Who gave you permission to talk about Jesus? God. Think about that one, mister. God told us to speak. Now you figure it out. Are we going to obey God or are we going to obey you? Obey God. Obey God. The proclamation of Jesus is recorded in there in Matthew 28, verse 18. He has all authority. He's given that authority to you. He's passed it on to you. He conquered the grave. And through Him, we will conquer the grave. The apostles obeyed the command of God, not that of men. Verse 17 and 18 relates how the corrupt priest tried to frighten the apostles into closing their mouths. Don't talk about Him anymore. We'll do something bad to you. Oh, yeah? What's worse than going to hell? I don't want to go to hell, so I'm going to obey God. You do what you want. You can disobey God if you want, but I am going to obey God rather than men. When God commands you, you'd better obey. Jesus was God in human flesh. Are we to obey Jesus? Yes. We'd better do it. The apostles refused to stop telling others about Jesus, for it is only through Jesus the Savior that anyone can have eternal life. I would encourage you to memorize verse 12. Verse 12 again, and there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven by which we have been given among men by which we must be saved. No other name. Talk about Jesus. Tell about Jesus. Live for Jesus because He will give you life. The apostles were compelled to tell others about Jesus because they were eyewitnesses. They were excited. They saw the brutality that Jesus was treated with. They saw Him buried into the grave, and then they saw Him alive. And Jesus could appear, disappear. He could float. They'd seen so many miracles, they had to tell others about Jesus. They were compelled. The Apostle Paul talks about it. He says, I can't keep my mouth silent. I must tell others about Jesus. If we love Jesus and are devoted to Him, we are compelled to tell others about Jesus because we believe in Him. He's given us life. He treats us with kindness, love, grace, and mercy, and forgiveness. He's forgiven our sin. and we have the promise of eternal life. And so we must tell others of what is available for them as well. We are compelled, if we love Jesus, to tell others. The last point is that Christians are empowered to face all opposition. All opposition. Anything that stands against the will of Jesus, you've got the power to stand against it if you will trust in the power of Jesus. Jesus promised that we will face resistance. We will face persecution. And we will face death. Jesus forewarned the disciples. John chapter 16, he says, you're going to face a lot of opposition. You're going to be thrown in jail. Some of you are going to be killed because of your testimony for me. It's going to happen. And he also said, all of us would encounter the same opposition. Can you make it through it? We've been studying the book of Job, his trials. He was ready to throw in the towel. You know, in the next chapter we get to, chapter 3, he says, why was I even born? He was in so much anguish and so much pain, so much heartbrokenness. Why was I born? And sometimes we may get to that point. Why are you born? To serve God. When you have trials, why are you going through them? To serve God. To live for Him. That's our purpose. All the time. Serve God. Doesn't matter what people are doing. They may beat us up. They may ridicule us. They may throw us in jail. We might get killed. Is that the end? That's not the end. We still have eternity with God. We serve the Lord of life. The Lord of life will always be with you. That's His promise. Matthew 28, verse 20. The God who created the entire universe and allows every person to live in His universe, in this world, has promised us that, hey, I've got a new home I'm fixing for you. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be more than you can imagine. How many of you have a big imagination? It's going to be bigger than that. But you have to stay with Him. Walk with Him. Be bold when you serve Jesus. He's got eternity prepared for you. Greater is He that is in you than he who is in the world. Satan is out here trying to do all he can to mess with us, stop us, scare us, keep our mouths shut. But Jesus is greater. Walk with Jesus in the assurance of Jesus, the Lord of life. The Apostle John writes those words to us, greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Did they try to hurt and stop John? Yeah. He was exiled on the island of Patmos. He was an old man when he writes this letter. He survived trial after trial, heartache after heartache, but he was looking at heaven. He was given the vision of heaven, and he wrote it down for us. He says, it's coming. Don't quit. It's coming. Be faithful. Heaven's coming. Jesus is coming back. Hang in there. The apostles stood up against the most educated leaders of the Jewish nation with the truth that Jesus healed the lame man. The same Jesus, the one the leaders had killed and crucified, condemned to death, buried him. But it was Jesus the one who conquered the grave, who had raised this man to the ability to walk. And it's the same Jesus who will give us eternal life. We are still called to tell others about Jesus Christ, the Lord of life. The apostles spoke with power about Jesus. The first century church spoke with power about Jesus. And now it is up to us to speak of the power of Jesus to give life. Will we speak with power? All in favor say yes. Let's do it. Would you pray with me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your great love, for sending Jesus, the Messiah, all according to your plan. Thank you for letting us know about Jesus. Thank you for those who have shared the message with us so that we could be here today. Father, help us to be bold and courageous and listening to your Spirit for the right words to encourage others around us to come spend time learning more about Jesus, to give their lives to Jesus, the Lord of life. Thank you that Jesus is coming again. Let us be found faithful and true and ready and holding hands with a whole multitude of friends, neighbors, enemies, whoever it may be. Let us bring others to your throne of grace and salvation through Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.